Our children this morning learned about Noah's Ark and the size of Noah's Ark and what the reason for Noah's Ark was. And I just wanted to show you that they did have the woodpecker on Noah's Ark. And they kind of made him nervous by the end of their boat trip. Amen? I'd like to welcome everyone here again. It's great to see this crowd. I also like to thank everyone that's joined us by way of podcast. We're broadcasting live internationally. I don't know how international we are today, but we're broadcasting internationally. I'd like to welcome each and every person to our 96th anniversary and homecoming here at the Blanchard Church of God. Now this morning, we're going to look at a subject, the Pentecost and baptism. We're going to start with reading the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, I'll be reading from the New Living Testament, or translation. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. That was the miracle of the different languages in the New Testament. They were completely amazed. How can this be, they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Jumping down to verse 11. And we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean, they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, ah, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit, or literally what's being said here, God is saying, I will pour out my power even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will, not maybe, but will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing wonderful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed with the help of the lawless Gentiles. You nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself. For he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven. He's sitting at God's right hand. And the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit. Literally, he gave him his own power to pour out on us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven. Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place at my right hand, speaking of Jesus, until I humble your enemies, making them your footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. They said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. You'll receive the gift of God's power. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. May God bless the reading of the Scripture this morning. Before the events of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, God's Spirit could not dwell with man because of sin. The power of God's Spirit produced a wonderful miracle. And when we read in God's Word where it says God's Spirit or Holy Spirit, this is referring to the power of God that's available to each and every one of us. It's available. It gives us the ability to live lives greater than we've ever even began to imagine. And think about this initial great miracle that took place. Uneducated fishermen were standing up. And as they were speaking, they weren't speaking gibberish when it says they were speaking in other languages and other tongues. But these uneducated fishermen, in the languages of Jewish people that had traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot, and I hope I pronounced that right, which we now today refer to as Pentecost, was the first time God's Spirit was able to come and indwell mankind. And these disciples had been following Jesus for literally years, hearing Him speak, hearing Him proclaim that today is a day of repentance. For behold, God's kingdom is at hand. And today, 2,000 plus years later, I'm here standing saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is soon at hand. And these Jewish people who had traveled to Jerusalem were hearing these men say it in their own languages. Some were speaking Hebrew or speaking a Jewish language. Some were speaking Arabic. Others were speaking Greek. Others were speaking languages that we no longer even are aware of. And they were hearing the disciples speak in their own language. And they couldn't understand. How in the world could these men be speaking in their own language? Here we are, 2,000 plus years later. We know by God's word that it was God's power being manifested in their hearts and in their lives. And they had the ability to do that because of God's power. And because of God's power on these men, but not only on these men, but these women, on that first day, the day of Pentecost, which is today, if we go by the American calendar, Shavuot, or what we now call Pentecost within the Christian church, takes place 50 days after Passover or Christ's resurrection. And we're at the 50-day mark today. And we're going to take just a few more minutes, because I don't want to take long, and we're going to look at the message that Peter presented. He stood up and he said, repent of your sins. And when we hear this word, and when we see this word in the Bible, we understand that it means that we're to ask forgiveness of our sins, ask forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. But it's even more than that. We were talking about this a few weeks ago in church here. And it means literally choosing to follow God. Now, does it mean that we automatically become perfect? That we immediately become sin-free and never able to sin again? Well, that's not exactly what it means. Because if you follow me around for a day or two, you're going to figure out, I'm far from perfect. And I've received God's forgiveness. A few people got that one. But it's God's power that will help me and help you to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. So often people say, well, the Christian life, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because it's all these do's and don'ts, and those are so uncomfortable. I like doing what I'm doing. When Jesus Christ called the disciples that were fishing, Peter, John, James, when He called them to follow Me, He said, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't say, and it's your job to clean them. Folks, our job is to place our faith and trust in Christ. Share it with as many people as we can. And let God do the cleaning. And not everyone is going to live their life exactly the same. And in God's grace, and in God's love, that's perfectly okay. Because all of us are at different places in our lives. We've all started at different places. We've all had different experiences. And God will bring us to the person He wants us to be in His time. Peter goes on to say, turn to God. Once again, he's kind of being a little redundant here. by saying repent and then saying turn to God. But he wanted to make sure people understood. Because the Jewish people believed in the one God. And when Peter was talking, he wanted to make sure they understood. He was talking about the God that they had always followed and sacrificed to. The next thing he says is to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repentance is the first step in God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. Baptism is the next step. And will be demonstrated in just a little bit. It's that baptism that washes away the sin that you and I have committed as we take time to follow in believer's baptism. And with the baptism is when we receive God's power. We receive God's gift of Holy Spirit. Literally, in your life. Folks, Harry Potter has nothing on the God of this Bible. For those who enjoy the reruns of Bewitched, Samantha and her family have nothing on the power of my God represented by this Bible. Anyone, anything that you can think of that claims that they have great power, it's garbage compared to the power of my God represented by this Bible. And these words are the words that God has spoken to us, that He wants each and every one of us to know and to understand and to hear. The message that Peter stood up and presented on the day of Pentecost, the day of Shavuot, is the same message that we have to hear, to listen to, and follow a little over 2,000 years later. The message, the call, and the desire of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, is that all men, women, teenagers, boys and girls, is to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. And having been baptized, at that point, you receive God's power in your heart and in your life to live life the way God has planned for you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You do for us. I pray that in this message that hearts and lives have been challenged. And we'll thank You and we will praise You for what You do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.